Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for time is coming when all those who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. This is the word of God. Let's pray. Lord, give us understanding and faith that we might live through the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, I was just going to call this sermon, We're All Going to Die, but I thought I better put something in the title that wouldn't be totally discouraging. But the fact is, this is one part of our faith which doesn't require faith. We're all going to die. That's just known. Something like 95% of the people who have ever lived on the planet Earth have died. And we are the remaining 5%. And we're fairly confident that we're also going to die. We only have, as far as we know, three exceptions to this rule. And one of them is not exactly an exception. Back in the Old Testament, we had a fellow named Enoch. And after a certain number of years, rather than die, he walked with the Lord and was taken. We don't know exactly what that means. But later on, we come to a prophet named Elijah. And when he's done his ministry, he knows the Lord is coming. And this has been the subject of many, many gospel songs. Along comes a chariot of fire and takes him away into heaven. He didn't die, he just went off in the chariot of fire. Now, Jesus also is someone who you might say didn't experience any final death. He died like the rest of us. He died. His heart stopped. His body started to decay. His life was gone. And he was in the grave for 3 days, not 3 days in a coma, not 3 days in a faint, not dead for an instant and then kind of held in stasis like in Star Trek for 3 days. He was in the grave and decaying. And then God raised him to life. And from that point on, he spends another 40 days among his disciples, and over 500 eyewitnesses saw him alive. And then he was lifted up into heaven. I think God gives us a lot of visual helps. You know, we somehow know that heaven's not necessarily up there, but up there is as inaccessible to us as heaven is, so it makes a good proxy. So when Ezekiel is taken away, he's taken up. When Jesus is taken away, he's taken up. And sometimes we look at the stars and think about how wonderful and bright they are, how they twinkle and shine, and everything seems perfect up there. And we understand that in God's celestial realm, in God's heavenly realm, it is in fact perfect. So we think of heaven as up, and we think of death as below, because the grave is where, for traditions unnumbered, we've buried the dead. But the fact of the matter is, we're all going to die. Everybody on the planet needs to come to terms with that. needs to understand that. The gospel is good news in the face of death's bad news. And in the early part of the Old Testament, we see an interesting time when it would appear that people lived an awful lot longer than we do now. Now, I've heard so many different explanations from different commentators and interpreters, some suggesting that actually there was something genetically different and people lived for a longer time, some suggesting that maybe they just counted years differently. Maybe they counted seasons or moons or something like that, and then that got lost in understanding. Others have suggested all kinds of different ways of working with that text. But whatever the understanding is, there's a point in here when the scriptures make a lesson out of it. And I wonder if any children ever asked, when they were told the stories of old, before the Bible was found in written form under the leadership of Moses, whether some children would say, "Mom, why did Methuselah live 900 years and we don't?" And Mom might have imparted this little bit of wisdom. Well, God just decided that 900 years was a bit too long. By the time you're at whatever age you are, you may also conclude that 900 years is a bit too long. It may seem like a really nice idea to live forever, but quite frankly, I think most of us are glad that there's an end to some things. Methuselah lived 900 years, and his name, 969 years to be exact, and his name means God is faithful. And there's something fitting about a name, God is faithful, for someone who lives 969 years. God's, to be able to look back over that stretch of time and go, "Yep, God kept me through all these changes and ups and downs," that would be really something. Now, if you do the math, Methuselah died in the year of the flood. What's significant about that is that though people were living these long lives, they didn't seem to become any wiser because of it. So even as a thought experiment, if you're asked the question, couldn't God solve the problem of evil in the world if he just gave people long enough to live so they could become wise? That's not how it worked. That's not how it would work. I think we're often relieved that God set a mortal limit on human life. I think to just back about 80 years, 70 years, Stalin. Stalin in Russia killed his millions and millions of his own countrymen in a paranoid purge after purge after purge. I think we're all kind of relieved that Stalin didn't live 969 years. Pol Pot in Cambodia, Mao in China, different despots in different times have had reigns of terror, and thankfully those reigns of terror were brought to an end, usually in less than 120 years, which was sort of the maximum that our scripture from Genesis suggests to us. There's actually some good news that God, in his mercy, doesn't let people keep on deteriorating forever. It's a sad bit of good news, but it is something of a mercy. But what is there in your life that is not deprived of its value by the fact that everything will die? Your own wealth, we all know you can't take it with you. And you can hardly pass it on to your children anymore either. Your children will grow. Will grow and yes, they will die. And someday there will be, if we get a tombstone, which so many people are not getting these days, but if we get one, there will be a faded tombstone that used to be engraved with a legible name, and someone will try and decipher who was this that lay in this spot. The scriptures talk about how the tree withers, the grass withers, and everything fades away, and we're forgotten, and our place knows it no more. So whatever you build, whatever impact you have on society around you, it could all be temporary, all just for a moment. It could be that you build a company that brings great employment to people, and then after your death it gets broken up into pieces. There are some people who made a tremendous impact, and this is another side of the long life thing. Some people who made a tremendous impact with a very short life. I don't know what Methuselah accomplished with his life apart from having a few children. That's all we're told about his life. But how old was Mozart when he died? He was a young man, having filled the world with all kinds of music, and mind you, all kinds of scandal too. What about Alexander the Great? By the time he was 39 years old, he had transformed the face of the Middle Earth, the Middle East, the Mediterranean basin, and North Africa. He had expanded an empire, and with the strength of his own Persian army, spread Greek culture as far as India and across what later became much of the Roman Empire by 39. And then he died of a fever and his empire was split up. But he had a lasting impact. Of course, above all, Jesus Christ, executed at about 33 years of age with only a handful of disciples. He's had such a transformative effect on human culture that no one, from even a human standpoint, is his equal. His impact within that short span of life and a ministry life of possibly 3 or 4 years, that ministry life that transformed everything. What about our lives? There is only really one part of our life that is eternal, and that is what we do in God. That is what is found in God. For God gives eternal life. And Jesus' work, even his human impact, cultural impact, is backed by the power, the resurrection power of God. He didn't have this impact by accident. He had it by design. And when he was raised to life after dying the same death that you and I will die, he was raised to a new life and offered to all who would come to him that new life which is eternal. If you haven't grappled with the fact that you're going to die, you may not recognize what a great gift Jesus' gift of eternal life is. It's great in two ways. First of all, it's a greater quality of life. I remember talking as a teenager with another teenager about the faith, and she said, "I don't think I want to live eternally. I would be bored." And I realized at that point already that the life that we have in Christ is a greater quality life than the life many people are living, because it's clear that many people wouldn't want to live the life they're living forever. We almost see that in the sort of apocalypticism of human culture, whether religious or secular. Everybody's expecting the world to come to an end sometime, and I think for some people there's a little bit of longing that life as they know it would just be changed because they are not happy with the life they have. Is that you? Is that you? As you seek a better quality of life? Maybe you've despaired of ever finding a better quality of life, but I want to assure you, you can have it in Jesus. Because Jesus fills a human soul with love and joy and peace. He fills a human soul with the fruit of the Spirit with faith and hope. He fills the human life with quality relationships. It's sometimes a difficult slog to become all that Christ wants us to be, and all the things that Christ knows we can be. But it's a better life, a life that is worth living forever. So in that sense, Christ transforms life to be a better life, but it is also a life with eternal consequences. It's not just a life that makes a difference for you for eternity, but it's a life in which you can share the good news of eternity, the good news of a transformed life with others, that they can know and receive this life from Jesus and enter into the same love and the same grace that you've discovered in him. Christ's life is better than temporal life in every way. But the scriptures make it clear that we need to grab hold of that life now. I think the image that scripture uses of a heart transplant is a good one. You see, in the Old Testament, God describes the people of Israel. He says, "You folks have a heart of stone, but the day is coming when I'm going to replace that heart of stone with a heart of flesh." Now, he's obviously talking in metaphors there. What's at the core of your life? The heart, this organ that pumps blood around, is not what God's talking about. But let's use it as an image for a moment. If you've got a bad heart, and the doctor determines that you need a heart transplant, you need to get it now while you're living, not after you're dead. And likewise, Jesus has given us today to receive a new heart from God, to invite him to make this eternal difference in our lives. It's said in Scripture that it is ordained for us to live once, to die once, and then to face the judgment. And Jesus wants us to have a new life in us, to fit us for eternal life. That eternal life begins when we get that heart transplant through faith in Jesus, when he says, "Now you're truly alive." And that's a life that will carry on beyond the grave. Our bodies will die. Our physical hearts will stop. But Jesus Christ will raise this new creature that we've become in his new kingdom that he's bringing to earth. And we shall live forever in this love. Now, there's one thing I have to add to this, because I've heard, and you've probably heard it too, you've heard children asking their parents, after the parents have carefully explained how it's a good thing that Grandpa's not here anymore, or we're sad, but Grandpa's so lucky because he's in heaven with God. And sometimes the children will say, "Well then, why can't we just go and be with him in heaven?" And then we have to scratch our head and go, "How do I answer that question?" We have to answer it for ourselves as well. Sometimes people would like to say, "Oh, I'd just like to be done with the suffering of this world." Some people are tired of struggling against habits and sins, and they think, "Oh, I'd be so much better off in heaven with God." And I want to ask you to avoid a big mistake. You see, you say that you can trust God with eternal life, and that's good. But the same God who calls you to trust him with eternal life calls you to trust him with this life now, that he, in fact, has a purpose for you. Wherever you are in life, a child, an adult, elderly, wherever you are, God has a purpose for you. Are you sick? God has a purpose for you. Are you healthy? God has a purpose for you. Are you confined at home right now and feeling lonely? God has a purpose for you. God has a place for you. We've got to trust him and seek him and discover the riches of his purpose now, because he has things for us to do that impact others. He has things for us to do that strengthen us and give us a greater hope for tomorrow and for eternity. He loves this world he made, and he loves the people in it. And for those of us who already know the eternal life that Jesus gives, it's not enough to just sit back and wait for the second coming and or wait for my heart to stop so I can go and be with Jesus. No, the life he's given you begins now, and the adventure begins now. The adventure of discovering how you can be used of God even now. Whatever our sorrows, whatever our suffering, we can look to Jesus. See that even though he only lived 33 years, he made a big difference, an eternal difference for you and me. Even though he was suffering desperately on the cross, he still reached out and demonstrated the character that God had placed in him. Forgive them their sins. They don't know what they're doing. Mary, would you take care of John while I'm gone? John, would you take care of my mom while I'm gone? Hanging on a cross, it sounds like regular conversation that you might have over a dinner table, serious conversation about arrangements and so on. But there is Jesus in the midst of suffering, showing the love of God. And I want to encourage you, if your life is difficult right now, let your life be a demonstration of that steadfast, faithful love in the Holy Spirit. You can do it. Reach out and encourage somebody, even now, wherever you are. We're all going to die. But in Christ, we have new life. Come to him. Let the other life go. Adopt this new life in Christ and know his peace and his joy. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks and praise that there is no life like the life that you give. No life that lasts for eternity apart from yours. And this is a gift to us, not something we've earned by our goodness, but something you've gained by your goodness, something you've given by your generosity. Lord, I remember people who are dear to me. I remember Brose Batstone, who didn't even begin life until he was 75 years of age. But for the next 17 years, he bore witness to the amazing life that you brought into him. Lord, I think of friends who have already passed, but they showed your love with every moment, every opportunity. Lord, I thank you for the congregation of St. Andrew's Rockland, where the life is bubbling up in so many voices, in so many gestures of love, in so much compassion, so much richness. Lord, we are being overwhelmed and astounded by the wonder of your presence. And we just pray that this gift would extend throughout our community and indeed throughout your world. For the glory of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website. And be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart, and may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with his constant, abiding, accompanying love.